Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP Section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. Welcome to the Building a Tax and Financial Planning Advisory Business podcast series. In this episode, we're going to talk with a few CPA financial planners about a variety of compensation models to help you determine what works best for your practice and your clients. And just like many different accounting firms, we all have different ways to approach things. The same thing happens with how you charge for financial planning services, investment services, or a variety of things that aren't, let's say, tax or audit related. So we're going to start today with Susan. Susan, would you tell us how you developed the model you have and how you charge and why you charge that way?
Sure. Thank you, Ted. Our firm charges on a fee-for-service basis. We only provide integrated personal financial planning services. We chose not to manage assets nor to sell products. We did that because we wanted to be as independent and objective as possible. We also wanted to drill down very deep in a client's financial life and focus the attention on their financial plan and building a team of advisors for our clients. So we decided we weren't going to manage assets or sell products, and we chose a fee-for-service basis. It's not based on amount of assets that a client has or the net worth that a client has. It is strictly based on the services provided. And we found that by structuring our fee this way, we were able to really create a real niche market by serving clients who had not been served before, namely small and medium-sized business owners. A lot of them don't have investable assets, and their net worth is really tied up in their business. So this became a really great niche for us. And we found that there were many options when you charge on a fee-for-service basis, but we decided to set our fee based on what 1 hour of time is worth to the financial planner. We took into account their experience and how much time they had available. And this latter factor really takes care of supply and demand issues. We're a small firm, so supply and demand becomes very important. And actually, when there's not as much supply as there is demand, we will go ahead and raise our fees to manage that. But calculating the number of hours a plan or project is going to take is really the key when you have a fee-for-service model. And we determine this during a complimentary two-hour meeting that we have with each of our prospects. And at this meeting, we're looking at their tax returns, their investment statements, life, disability, long-term care, all their property and casualty policies, employee benefit information, and estate documents. And we actually review these documents in the meeting so we can have a feel for the amount of work that needs to be done. We talk about their goals, dreams, spending, jobs, careers, businesses. And if they are a business owner, we're looking at all of their business documents as well. We keep asking questions so that we can really have a deep understanding of what this engagement is going to look like and how much time it's going to take. We discuss their children and in-laws, issues in their lives, and we take into consideration their personality, how easy it was to spend 2 hours with them, how much time they're willing to commit to the process, how many appointments we're going to have to set with other advisors that they're going to be working with. Since we don't manage assets or sell anything, we introduce them to investment advisors, to insurance professionals, trusts and estates attorneys, even CPAs, because we don't prepare tax returns at our firm. And so all of this gives us an idea of what we're going to encounter in the engagement and how much time it will take. We then share with them an annual fee. We charge on an annual basis, and we let them know that the fee is not going to change, even if we have not estimated correctly what the amount of time it is going to take us. Clients share all the time. They hate being billed for each call, each email, and it's really critical to our model, our service model, that they call us and email us as much as possible and not have to worry about the bill. So we calculate the fee, and we charge 50% of that fee up front, 25% after the first 90 days, and the last 25% 120 days after that. And when you don't manage assets, you're not able to register with the SEC, so you register with your state. And we have clients actually all over the country, so we're registered in numerous states. And the one thing you have to be careful about is if you're not managing assets, you don't want to wander into the world of custody issues. And your fee, charging too much of a fee up front, can cause those kind of issues. But we have found that a fee-for-service business gives us the most flexibility in our fees and gives us the ability to offer completely independent and objective advice.
Thank you, Susan. If folks had listened to the podcast on practice models, you heard Michael Goodman say that he just quit his job and started fresh. And that's quite a risky thing for a CPA to talk about. So let's listen more. Michael, if you could tell us your fee arrangements with clients and maybe how things have changed over the years.
Sure. Thank you, Ted. I appreciate that introduction there. And I would say it's not something I recommend that most people do. Especially when you have a wife that's pregnant and just purchased your first home. That having been said, though, I did get some really good education in those early years and tried out several different compensation models over the first several years of my career. I will say upfront that I think there needs to be a balance in the focus when determining how you're going to get compensated. And what I mean by that is that you're not only factoring in the perspective of the client and what's going to make sense for them, what's fair and equitable for them, but also what's going to be fair and equitable for you, not only from a revenue standpoint, but as a practice management standpoint. What's going to allow you to be able to continue to have a business that's going to be there when clients need help and assistance. So I think that's a really important thing that has to be balanced for the client's benefit as well as yours. So initially working in a commission-based model when I first got into the business, both on the investment side and the insurance side, I quickly realized that that's not the model that I felt was appropriate for my clients and for my business and my personal mentality around my revenue. The idea that every year that I would need to go out and get new clients to earn another commission again was not a very good thing from a practice management standpoint, nor was it a good thing for my existing clients that had paid a commission, because all I was forced to do was focus on getting new commissions and not have enough time to also give them service. So I quickly realized that for both me and the client, the commission model was probably not the best strategy. And within, I'd say, about 5 years or so of my career, approximately, I sort of very aggressively started to move away from that. And I moved primarily into an assets under management model. At that time, though, I would charge clients fees up front to do financial plans. So I would charge a fixed fee usually after assessing what their needs were, what the complexity of their plan looked like. And I would charge them this fixed fee to do the financial plan. As a matter of fact, at that time, I wouldn't even take their investment assets until they paid me that fixed fee to do a financial plan. And I worked under that model for a bunch of years, realizing that I was probably losing certain clients that didn't want to pay for that large fee up front to get that ongoing relationship. Also, I realized that for my clients in the way that I was working, that giving them this big, large financial plan was kind of a very hard thing for them to digest. It was frequently a little overwhelming. Even though I would boil it down to one page, this is what the issues are and this is what you need to do, it would take a long time to implement that. So I switched to an approach where the clients would come in and we would start financial planning immediately, but we would do it in modules based on a combination of the client's concerns and priorities, as well as what we saw as financial planners, where the fires were or where the attention needed to be focused on. At the same time, though, we were taking their assets on board, we're managing their investment assets, and charging them a percent of AUM model. I like that model because I find that clients don't hesitate to reach out to us. I hear it again and again from my clients where they get paid either on an hourly basis or where they know at the end of the year there's going to be a discussion around how much time, that they are resistant to reach out to their other professionals, and they're not resistant. And I find that we do much more planning for our clients in this kind of a model, and it's worked really well. We still do these financial plans when the client is there's just no opportunity for them to move assets, or perhaps they don't even have liquid assets for us to manage. So we'll work on a project-based fee. We also work sometimes on a retainer basis for ongoing planning for certain clients when we know that there's a potential liquidity event in the long run. But I think I want to summarize and just say again, I think it's really important for you not only to focus on a revenue model that makes sense for you to get compensated fairly for your time today, not only a model that makes sense for the client to pay a fair fee for whatever they're getting, but the practice management concept has to be considered as well, because you want to make sure that over time you'll continue to have a business where people can call and get service.
Thanks, Michael. That was quite an evolution. And I know, Brooke, you've been going through some evolutions yourself with what you've been doing. Would you tell us a little bit about your fee structures and how you charge clients and the things that you do?
Yes, thank you, Ted. You're right. It has been a bit of an evolution, but when I started about 15 years ago now, I felt there was a large part of the market that was underserved, and those are people who do have complexity, do have financial issues and a lot of financial questions, but for one reason or other are not interested in wealth management and paying an AUM fee, yet their issues are still very important. And what resonated with me was charging either on an hourly basis or on a project basis. So that's how I started my practice. And what I found is that some clients come back every year, and we do the initial financial plan, which, yes, is a fairly large project that I have given them a fixed fee quote on. And then there are issues that they have, and basically they come back every year. My recommendation to most clients is that that they do review their investments and rebalance their investments at least once a year, even if they aren't actually having them managed. And I want to step back and say that a part of comprehensive financial planning is looking at their investments and their investment portfolios. So that is part of the work I do, and that I do give them recommendations that they want to go and implement themselves. So, again, that's why I encourage my clients to come back once a year, and we do review and rebalance. So as things have evolved, more and more clients have said that they would like to move to a managed asset portfolio. So, it being responsive, which I think we should be, I have incorporated that into my practice. But again, I do that on a retainer basis, which I feel works well for me, works well for my clients. It does give me very consistent ongoing revenue, which, yes, is important for managing my business. So I've been very happy, and I just thoroughly enjoy my clients and the work we do together. And I really do feel that it's such a honor to get into the issues, these important personal issues that everybody, we all have. And I just feel great that I can offer this service. I do some tax work for some clients, but I'm not out seeking tax work. And I do enjoy tax work, frankly, but it is the financial planning work that is really meaningful for me and resonates with me.
Thanks, Brooke. And so obviously you don't worry about market volatility as much as somebody under an AUM model like Michael. But starting back with you, Brooke, can you maybe give us three baby steps people could take that would help them in this area?
Well, I think the first thing would be deciding the type of client you want to work with. Do you want to work with the business owner that's all in their business and really doesn't have much of a portfolio outside of their business, so you would need to structure differently for that? Or do you want to work with family office type clients that have probably a business but also many millions of dollars that do need to be managed? So I think it depends on what resonates with you. And then a business plan is very important. We encourage our clients to have a business plan, so I think that's equally important for us to have it in writing, a 5-10 year business plan, and see what is going to work. And so that's the first step, searching your own heart as to what resonates with you, putting together a business plan, talking to us, to attending the workshop at Engage, I think is a very excellent first step. And having a chance just to talk to your colleagues and find out what works for them. And what I have found is that when you're not hesitant to reach out and ask, I think CPA financial planners are quite generous in sharing how they structure their business, what works well, what's been a failure. So I think you will get real feedback that will be valuable. So that, I guess, is that a second step? And then a third step would be things are not going to be perfect. So you just have to get started. And you have to realize that you are going to make mistakes and it's going to be an evolution and be comfortable with that.
Thanks, Brooke. Michael, you spent, you mentioned before, years going into this model and then that model. Is there a baby step that you might recommend to folks that maybe want to explore the different models but not take 5 years at a time to do that?
Yes. I always say that in spite of these challenges, I've gotten where I am, and I don't, recommend that most people follow in my footsteps. They could hopefully short-circuit them tremendously, although there is a lot to be said for having gone through these experiences yourself. I think the most important thing is what was just said by Brooke, and that is that you really first understand who is your target client. What is the ideal client for you? What kind of work do you want to do? What kind of personalities do you want to work with? What kind of complications are you most comfortable with? And then figure out what kind of a compensation structure is going to make sense for you with those clients. It also is a little bit of a comfort zone in general. Some people just might not be interested in managing investment assets, for example, which is perfectly fine, in which case you wouldn't necessarily charge an AUM-based fee, although there are advisors that do charge based on a percentage of net worth or a percentage of income. That's a very common in the old CPA business management model to do a percentage of income. I think you need to figure out these target clients, what's their situation going to be like? What's going to be the best kind of compensation model that's going to be the most sense for you? If you're working with small clients or clients that don't have investment assets, clearly you're going to need to look to either a project, hourly, or even a subscription-based fee, which is becoming very popular. There are certain firms that charge a modest amount of money every month, and that's sort of their subscription-based financial planning approach. So short-circuiting some of the education that I went through is not necessarily a simple thing to do, but I do think that if you really focus on what makes sense for you and the kind of people you want to work with, the compensation model will sort of apply itself pretty well.
Thanks, Michael. And with just a minute or two left, Susan, I know it's tough to go third, but would you give us a baby step or two that folks could take?
Sure. I agree totally with Michael and Brooke. You need to determine what services you're going to offer, what your business model is going to look like, how you're going to bill, but also obtain the knowledge needed to offer planning services if you don't already have that, and obtain a certification. The public is looking for financial planners to have a certification and the AICPA's PFS certificate is the best route to go. Become a member of the PFP section if you're not already, and definitely attend the Building a Planning and Tax Advisory Workshop at the Engage Conference this June. Also, the last thing I might say is develop a mentoring relationship, and you can do some excellent networking at the Engage Conference and build those mentoring relationships. They're invaluable in getting your practice started.
Thank you, Susan. I want to thank Susan, Michael, and Brooke for being on this podcast with us.
On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Ted Sarensky. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to join us at the Building a Tax and Financial Planning Advisory Business Workshop and visit the Planning and Tax Advisory Services Hub at AICPA.org/Grow Advisory Services to learn more about the why, the what, and the how. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit AICPA.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.